Good morning. It is a delight to be with you today and to worship with you and to look forward to the day's activities. They're always full on the Lord's Day, and especially so today and for this very special holiday weekend. I wanted to commend Clay not only for his excellent song leading, but yesterday we had at the building one of the most beautiful occasions of its kind that I've ever attended, Joan and I have ever attended, and that was the 70th wedding anniversary of his in-laws, Bill and Dolores Harris. And if there's ever been a case where a son was not a son-in-law, or a son-in-law was not just a son-in-law, a son, that would be the case of our brother Clay Young. And we congratulate Bill and Dolores. They're here again this morning, and they have other family members that were with them, but it was a wonderful and beautiful occasion, as many of you got to be a part of. And mention was made earlier about our sister Debbie Flatt, and yesterday was Brother Ben's birthday, and I know that several of you are having birthdays this weekend, but we salute all of you who are recognizing that special occasion. And we do indeed want to pray for Debbie's approaching surgery. We want to pray for our brother Bill Watkins. And I'd ask you to also put on your prayer list our brother Steve Baggett. Both brother Bill and Steve Baggett are members as gospel preachers of the Board of Trustees at the university. And Steve and his wife Pam, Steve preaches for Walnut Street in Dixon, an outstanding congregation. Lost a son Friday, Matt, to an automobile accident. His funeral will be tomorrow in Cookeville at the Jefferson Avenue congregation. And it's, again, leaving Pam and three little ones. We're just so very sorry to share that with you, but we want you to join us in prayer as we think about these special people and special brothers and sisters in the Lord. This is the last Sunday in the month of May, and therefore the last Sunday in our month-long focus on love, which you would think and you would expect to be one of the absolute easiest biblical topics with which to deal. It is not always. In fact, well, there have been statements in the past that anybody can preach on the love of God, but when you think about a series of lessons that talks about not only what God loves and what God hates, and therefore what we should love and what we should hate, what God hates and what we hate, those are some difficult things with which to deal. But today we're ending both lessons focusing upon statements that are taken from the list of the Christian graces in 2 Peter 1, verses 5 through 7. Add to your virtue, knowledge, and to your knowledge, patience, and so forth. And the last one on the list is the most important one, love. And we in particular want to think about the love that we are to have in three different dimensions. Next week, and this is a very natural, actually it'll be, we have a special emphasis next week, but our month of June is focused on compassion. And when all of that was being put together by the worship committee late last year, those were sequential. In other words, one built upon the other. And so you can't be compassionate until you really understand what agape, the New Testament word for love, is and what it means. So we'll carry out that theme into the next month as well. I want us today to think about three different ways that a disciple of Jesus is supposed to love. And I'm not getting juice here. Okay, y'all help advance the slides for me upstairs, if you please. There we go. Okay, we're talking about three loves today. First of all, beginning with, very quickly, the definition of these three loves. We began, and we have discussed this during the month, about loving the Lord. And what, of course, that includes, there are many, many references, especially in the Old Testament, where God the Father is mentioned as Lord. Many times in the New Testament, he's referred to as Father, primarily because of the emphasis that Jesus gave to that. But we know that we're to love God with all of our heart, with all of our mind, with all of our soul, and with all of our strength. Not only in Mark 12, but in Matthew 22, in verse 37, does Jesus remind not only those who were of his disciples, but also a reminder to those who were Orthodox Jews, fundamental Jews, wanting to know what is the first and great commandment. And then in 1 John 5 and verse 1, there's a statement from the disciple that Jesus loved, the Apostle John, that says, whoever loves the Father loves his Son. And so here's the test for us. Really, as the family of God at the Henderson congregation, and who are trying to be salt and light and leaven in the good sense of that word, we need to be evaluating how are we doing every single day, and how much more do I love the Lord? We've just been singing, how deep is the Father's love for us. When you turn that around, how deep is the Father's love in receiving love from us? Just how deep is that? And so, first of all, there's love for the Lord. Secondly, a disciple loves his brothers and sisters in the Lord. We've talked again about this theme this month. This is kind of summary. Again, one of the keys to education is repetition, repetition, repetition. Like a quarterback taking snaps from center, we call them reps. Over and over and over again till we really get it. And so if we love the Lord, we have got to love who the Lord loves, his very own children. And we are to love them in a special way. We've even said earlier this month, there are some that are easier to like than others within our spiritual family. That's no new revelation. There are those to whom we're drawn more naturally, but we're to love everyone. It's often been said, we like because of, we love in spite of. That applies to brethren sometimes. I want to read to you a statement from Rob O'Neill, the Navy SEAL responsible for taking the life of Osama bin Laden, 7 years ago now. He's a Fox contributor, Fox News contributor, and he wrote an article entitled, Don't Say Happy Memorial Day to Me. This is Memorial Day weekend. And it's an excellent essay. I would encourage you to look that up, and it wouldn't take you long to read. This guy who is a retired now, a man of the military at the highest level, being a Navy SEAL, given the most difficult assignments in the world, is a very effective writer. One excerpt from the essay. On Memorial Day, I salute my brothers and sisters in arms who have served beside me in war on Terra. My heart especially goes out to the families of those who did not return home. In fact, I think about all those who served and all those who have given their lives fighting for America from our country's earliest days in the Revolutionary War. They all have my gratitude. There were those with Rob O'Neill who had been on assignments before that did not return home. He saw that a lot. And so Memorial Day for him is not a day for cookouts and for celebrations and all of those kind of things that all of us, there's nothing wrong with having and observing. I mean, a holiday is a holiday, but don't lose sight of what the holiday is designed for. And so he's reminding us of that. Now, I think about this even more in Memorial that we've just observed. Really, depending on where we are in our spiritual growth and development, it affects us, some of us, more deeply than it does the rest of us. But we should learn from that, and we should grow from that. And there are going to be things that happen in our lives where we have not before realized just how significant the Lord's Supper is, and just how significant it is partaking of the Lord's Supper with that person to your left as well as to your right, and especially if you are with loved ones all around you and you're partaking of this memorial feast, you're loving the Lord, but you're loving each other as you have the right and the privilege of partaking of this meal. As Rob O'Neill thinks today and tomorrow about his brothers and sisters in arms, I want us to be thinking about we too are bearing arms, not of a physical nature, but of a spiritual nature. The devil is not our friend. He's our enemy. The worst enemy that anyone could ever have, who will destroy not only your life, but your eternal soul. We need each other. We need each other desperately. And when that need is obvious and clear and great and very public, it is our brothers and sisters in arms upon whom we depend. And they come through. A disciple is someone who also loves the lost. How many people do you know in this town that you've known, perhaps for those of you who are lifelong residents, you've known all of your life, and you've talked and you've encouraged, you've tried to be a good example, you've tried to be careful about what you say and what you don't say, but you're still praying that somehow, some way, someone, if not you, can reach them. You have a list of those kind of people. You see, a disciple of the Lord loves what the Lord loves, and the Lord came to seek and to save the lost. I mean, there were a lot of other good things about him, even great things about him, that we love and appreciate and probably talk more about than we do this particular theme. But if the Lord loves the lost, then I got to love the lost. We can't have this mentality of, we belong to the church, but you don't. And therefore, there's a line drawn between us that I cannot cross. And of course, that would be true in certain areas. That would be true in regard to the very truth. That would be true in regard to morality and all of those kinds of things. Attitude, though, is something that we determine. And if we love the Lord, and if we love those who have already gone through the process of being buried with the Lord in baptism and added to his church, there will not be a more highlight day in your life than when you come up from those waters. I'm not minimizing wedding days. I'm not minimizing anniversaries. I'm not minimizing anything. I'm just saying, when you enter the Lord, it makes all the difference in the world for the rest of your life if you are a true disciple, follower, striving to imitate, learner, student, whatever you want to call it, those who would cling to him all the way to the cross and beyond. One of the things about the early disciples, we would not have the church in the 21st century if it was not for them, many of whom gave everything they had and gave their lives for the church to grow and to advance. Now the question becomes, okay, I can see that. And by the way, things like love for family and love for friends, love for country, all of that is implied in this kind of love. Let's go to the next slide. Must need a new battery here. Three loves demonstrated. How can we demonstrate our love? First of all, our love for the Lord can be demonstrated in and through the way that we worship. When the Lord said, worship God in spirit and in truth, we've talked about that back in the month, I believe, of February, when we spent the entire month talking about worship. And so we understand again that truth means what is revealed as well as what is not revealed. We don't add to what is not revealed. We don't take away what has been revealed. We are a by-the-book people, not so stoically or uncaringly or without regard for how others do not regard the book, perhaps at the level that we do, inspired word for word from the very breath of God. But when it comes to the matter of in spirit, is this something that we check off our list on the first day of the week? I've got to go to church, I've got to go to Bible class, I'll be back at 5, back at 7 on Wednesday. Or is it something that we build the week around of getting ready for, getting prepared for, looking forward to? And so when we show our love for God, we show that love by worshiping Him. And we do so in spirit and truth. The New Testament says that we can do that in two ways. Obviously, we're encouraged by the Hebrews writer not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as already in the first century they had that problem, as the custom, as the habit of some is. Now there are times, of course, when we're physically unable to be in the assembly. But there should not be other things that become greater or more important than our being together in worshiping the Lord. We can also do that in private devotions. Do you remember? Here's an implication of Matthew 6 and verse 6. When Jesus is contrasting the hypocrisy of the Pharisees with what his disciples were supposed to be, he says, "And when you pray, don't stand on street corners, but go to your closet," that is to say, your innermost room, the most private place in your home. And for some of us, it might be the attic, or it might be the basement. But you go to your most private place, and there will be times, I'm telling you, the longer you live, there will be times that you don't know anything else to do but fall to your knees and pour your heart out to God. Or to pour your heart out in gratitude, in praise. Have you noticed Philippians 4 and verse 7 that says, "Be nothing, and nothing be anxious, but in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving." Most of the time we think in that verse about, "Oh, God, this is what I need. This is what I'm praying for." But notice, with thanksgiving. For what? For number one, the fact that He is there. And number two, that He is listening. And number three, He will act in His own good time. It takes faith to keep up with all of that. But that again is what we're doing here today. We also demonstrate our love, especially for each other, by spending time and sharing our lives with each other. We do that obviously through worship. Again, we've emphasized when we were talking about worship, when you're not here, as several of our folks are gone today and blessing other congregations by their visiting there, and we're blessed today by those who have come to be with us. What a wonderful thing. But when we're gone, when we're away, our absence is extremely noticeable by the elders and hopefully by those closest to us, because it means something not only to come into the assembly and see God through the eye of faith, but to see your brothers and sisters and those who are in the realm of the lost, that every time the invitation is extended, you're praying that they will choose that day or that night to come forward. Am I right on that? I know so. If they're praying that there will be people who will let go of the pew and really let go of the world and come before the congregation to give their life to the Lord. But we do that together. And then, whether it be someone who is being born into the family of God through this responding to the invitation, or someone who is strong and solid as a rock, but for whatever reason has lost their way, or someone who is so desperate for the prayers beyond themselves of the whole congregation, that they come forth, and then we surround them with our arms and with our love, right? We show our love for our brothers and sisters through fellowship in life and being there Monday through Saturday as well as on Sunday. And not only at the church building, but also in our homes. First century church was known for its hospitality. It's commanded the more and more you work through the New Testament, being open to hospitality, being open to those, even strangers, the New Testament says, to welcome them in and to make of your home a home of haven and of rest sometimes, but certainly a blessing to those who are in need. Our love for the lost is expressed through evangelism. This morning, our brother Al Jean announced that the emphasis in the primetime class for next quarter is going to be on evangelism. We have a special Sunday next Sunday with Jeremy Northrup being here, but after that, we'll resume to our adult classes, and in that class, we're anticipating learning a lot more how we can be more effective in reaching these people that we love. And so as we think about the Lord again coming to seek and to save the lost, we're to do the same in terms of what is called personal evangelism, but also the evangelism of those that we will never know. We have people missing today who are in Haiti worshiping with the poorest country in the Western Hemisphere. And I tell you, those folks, the way they worship, they not only worship in truth, but they worship in spirit. They feel it. They don't take it for granted. And that's why that folks who come back from there are forever changed as a result of that experience. Same is true, we have some who are on the trip to New Zealand. And let me tell you, these are not pleasure trips. It's hard work. Morning to bedtime at night. And they do indeed need our prayers, but they deserve our encouragement and our financial support. And so let's say, okay, I am not necessarily one who is effective in this personal evangelism, but I can certainly support those who are. And I'm not going to have the opportunity to go to other parts of the world, but I can support those who do and who can. It's one of the beautiful things about our young people. They're ready to go, and they're ready to work. Both our youth group as well as our university students, you know, all through the years, this congregation has been the beginning point of the support for these efforts that bring in other congregations as well. That comes from love. It doesn't come from guilt, although we should be guilty if we're not a part of it. And that old mentality, oh, well, you know, I'm for the evangelization of those who are here, but I'm not responsible for those that I'll never see or know. Oh, yes, you are. The Great Commission says, make disciples in every nation. And so the question becomes, how are we doing? How are we doing in showing a disciple's love? There are some who worship God in public, yes, but never find the time to worship Him in private. And I'm talking about the Bible study at home, the prayers at home, the family even being centered around the table, centered upon thanksgiving for every single bite that we consume and all that we have. And in various other ways, in private ways, our own ways, that we can show our love. How are we doing in our worship? How are we doing in fellowship? There are those who will always be at the building, and how grateful we are for that dedication. We depend upon it, but whose homes are not necessarily open to fellowship to other people. they're even their brothers and sisters in Christ. And then there are those who evangelize at home, yes, and we got to have that, but who do not support evangelism abroad, where it is so desperately needed. One of our brethren from originally Centerville, Tennessee, Hickman County, Brother J.M. McCaleb, spent 40 to 42 years before the days of World War II in Japan. He and his wife raised, I believe, five children there and established preaching schools, hospitals, I don't know what all. But one of the things that we remember J.M. McCaleb for is The Gospel is for All, written in 1921. And boy, the verse that stirs me the most is the second one. Say not, the lost or the heathen are at home. Beyond we have no call. For why should we be blessed alone? The gospel is for all. And so again, not to be burdened with guilt, we can be guilt-free if we're a part of the program of the church that is evangelistic in its very nature. We have great evangelistic efforts that go on across the street. I'm talking about young people who come here who've never held a Bible before. And so their mission efforts that we support in that effort, do you realize that we support the Bible teaching program every year for I don't know how many years? And we support campaigns. And we support sometimes students who need special help in special ways at special times in their lives. They've had the death of a loved one and they have no funds in which to rush home for that occasion. And there are those who will step up and they'll provide the means for that. And how many more things? Not to speak about adopting young people, but we have a lot of that going on. I'm just appealing for all of us to be a part of that. And when the collection plate is passed, whether we realize how much of that is going to evangelism or not, we entrust to our elders to make those decisions who must keep up with the bottom line and must keep the budget balanced each and every week, each and every month, and they do a superb job. But the main thing that that's for is love for God, love for brethren who are in need, but love for the lost. Let's go to the final slide. Paul's made so many outstanding statements, as you know. One of them is in the opening of the beautiful little book of Philippians. This I pray, that your love, the Philippian church, that happened to be financially a very generous church, may abound still more and more in real knowledge and in all understanding. Boy, that'd be nice, wouldn't it? That we really had a knowledge of everything that we would like to know, even much faster than what we can learn. But God's plan is, little by little, the more we expose ourselves to the Word, we take the Word into our hearts, it becomes our faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. It will always be that way. But it also comes by living out that faith in real life experiences. And there are things that we know not from a Bible class or not from worship, but being out there in the real world of life and involving ourselves in the situations of people that we learn from them. And we learn what it's like to feel like to be in their situation and never know when we might be in that situation and we need them to come to us. Well, that's a way of knowing. That's a way of understanding. That's a way of identifying with not only the love of the Father, but and the love of His Son, of course, the love of the church, but love of our brothers and sisters and love for the lost. May the Lord bless us in renewing our desire, our dedication, our preparation, our commitment to worship in spirit and in truth. to look at the people before us, behind us, and to each side of us, and to say an encouraging word each time we see them. And then to show the lost in our community, first and foremost. They may not like us for a very good reason, and yet it's not going to cause the disciple of the Lord not to like them in return. We've got to hope and wish and pray and do everything that we can that heaven will be filled eventually with people that we had no idea when they obeyed the gospel, because that is the essential to accept the grace of God that makes it possible. And it calls for repentance of all sin, and it calls for confession of belief in Jesus the Christ, the Son of God, and it calls for being immersed in water for the forgiveness of sins, and it calls for faithfulness as a disciple who loves. And that's the invitation now as we stand and sing.